This week, in a one-day-only special offer, Google gave members of the public in the United States the chance to get their hands on Google Glass for a whopping $1,500. That's right, $1,500. Not surprisingly, they didn't sell out. But is that all to do with the hefty price tag, or is there a chance that Glass doesn't have that mass appeal that other new technology has enjoyed? Well, Adrian Weckler, technology editor with the Irish Independent, has had the chance to try out Google Glass for himself, and I get the impression he's not quite sure about its future. Adrian, are you telling me that I can walk along the street and order the thing to do what kind of I want it to do? You know, I say, take a picture, and that's it.
That's exactly it. It's voice control. So you start off by saying the words, OK, Glass, and you can then tell it to take a picture, to start recording video. You can text somebody. You can make a phone call to somebody. If your Google Glass headset is connected wirelessly to your phone, which it will be, you can get directions, so you can see pretty much, you can get directions for where you're going as you're walking there, so turn right here and you turn right. So it's kind of the next generation of wearable, what they call wearable technology. So, you know, forget your smartwatch. This is actually technology that goes right into your set of glasses.
Okay, in fact, it's like Go-Go Gadget and the Matthew Broderick in that movie. That's all you say and off you go. So you've had the chance to try it out. What do you think, Adrian?
To be honest, I've mixed opinions on it. They're fun to use. I only used them one day for a short period of time. They're fun to use, but there are quite a few restrictions. The first restriction is the way that people you're interacting with, the looks that you start getting. Some people who are polite will come up to you and say, wow, that's Google Glass, isn't it? How do you find them? Can I have a go? Are you recording me at the moment? Others will look at you. It reminds me of the first days of camera phones when everybody was freaked out that you were whipping out your phone and you were recording them or taking photos of them slyly. And in fact, that is in the States, where thousands of people now have Google Glass. You know, you've bars and cafes and restaurants that actually won't allow people with Google Glass in. I mean, I've spoken to the Department of Transport here and the Road Safety Authority, and they say they're considering an outright ban on Google Glass in cars for obvious reasons, because if your screen, your virtual computer screen, essentially is built into the lens of your glasses, it's not hard to see how that would be distracting when you're driving.
Or when you're walking.
Or when you're walking, indeed. I mean, the only thing about that is what I found was it was actually safer than using my phone when walking. I'm a terrible one for, you know, walking along with my phone.
Seen the ad on television? You're that idiot that people have to go.
I absolutely am that idiot, 100%. So to be fair to Google Glass, it actually does improve your chances of survival on the path as compared to a normal smartphone.
Okay, but there are fears, as you say, particularly over privacy and safety, and therefore there's an awful lot of controversy. So as a result of the fear, some wearers have actually been attacked, have they, in the great land of the whole thing to San Francisco?
Yeah.
Glass holes?
That's exactly it. If you Google Glass, you know, on the first page, two or three of those results will be devoted to what they call glass holes. Which is Google Glass has become a symbol of the divide, the tech divide that's happening, particularly in San Francisco, where Google and Yahoo and Apple provide buses through San Francisco, private buses, and they're now being attacked. And people who are wearing Google Glass are now seen as representative of this tech aristocracy who pay very little tax, who earn big salaries, and who essentially don't give an awful lot back.
But hold on a second, the tech aristocracy, surely like a smartphone when it came out first, or any of those kind of things when they came out first, you were part of supposedly a tech aristocracy.
Well, Dave, I remember when mobile phones first came into circulation, and in the early days, if you had a mobile phone, they were synonymous with the word yuppies.
Listen, I remember Gay Byrne on his program on the radio. I saw a man the other day on the street standing there with one of these mobile phones. He looked like an idiot.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So there's that kind of hostility of, you know, there's a show off, together with the fear of, am I being live streamed right now on some German website? There is genuinely that fear. Now, it's overdone to an extent. I mean, as I said, I remember when camera phones first came in, And back then, the Minister for Communications, Noel Dempsey at the time, even spoke about setting up a register for people who had 3G phones with cameras. Such was the hysteria over, you know, whether people would be photographed and filmed. I can't see it quite getting that far, but there are genuine, there's genuine unease among people. I noticed it when I was wearing Google Glass. People around me were wondering, am I being filmed?
But hold on, with that wider picture, and I mentioned San Francisco and the whole idea of Silicon Valley and the whole idea of the centre of the world, of one of the biggest single things that's ever happened in the world, which is the technological revolution. I would have thought that San Francisco is probably, what, on one side very happy, but at the moment it might just be going a little OTT and there's the backlash.
Well, you see, it depends who you are in San Francisco. If you are being paid $160,000 as a mid-level engineer or software programmer, in Google, then absolutely, it's brilliant, it's fantastic. If you're somebody who has nothing to do with the tech industry in San Francisco, what you're seeing are companies who, provide their own transport, pay very little tax, are stockpiling so much money now that they're actually taking money out of the system. If you consider that Apple currently has about $140 billion of cash lying around, Google has about $70 billion of cash, Microsoft has around the same. The reason is because they're not spending it, they're not investing it, they're terrified to repatriate it because they'll have to pay tax on it. So from a San Francisco citizen's point of view, unless you're getting a paycheck at the end of the month, these companies are doing absolutely nothing for you or for your city.
Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, you would say, well, hang on a second, they're creating high-value jobs and they support the economy in other ways. But you try renting an apartment anywhere in San Francisco and you're looking at $3,000 for a one-bedroom apartment.
Yeah.
And, if you're trying to get on the ladder somehow, you're saying, we don't need these tech types here.
Right, okay, point taken. Now, do you think it's going to be, this thing that we're talking about here, Google Glass, a success when it does become globally available? I mean, I remember reading somewhere that Google want to have the same kind of impact that the iPhone did when it was first launched. Is that possible?
Well, first of all, it looks like a mass launch, could be, a year or 2 years off. At the moment, as you said, they released these sets for $1,500. Nobody's going to pay that for Google Glass. Unless you're very wealthy, you must have the latest gadget. It's very unlikely it'll be available, for another year or 2 years. Will this compare to the iPhone? It's hard to see it comparing to the iPhone because this depends on developers, software developers, creating special apps for Google Glass. So, for example, Facebook. If you're going to spend €500 on a pair of Google Glass, not only do you want your text messages coming in to be able to make phone calls and browse the web, you also want to be able to keep up with Facebook. Now, if Facebook don't develop a proper app for Google Glass, that could kill Google Glass. So that kind of stuff is absolutely crucial. There's one other factor, Dave, I would say, which is important here, and that is, if you look at the people who are enthusiastic about Google Glass, all of the people wearing Google Glass, they all tend to be men over the age of 40, and they tend to be people who might maybe have BlackBerries or BMW 5 Series or have golf clubs in the back of the car. They're not kind of the people who set trends, or they're not people who set the right kind of trends. So quite apart from the whole insecurity thing of am I being recorded, there might also be an image problem for Google Glass. There are very few teenagers or young hip people in the 20s wearing Google Glass.
Okay, just finally, at the risk of just, the possibility of in 30 years' time, somebody's going to play this very bit of radio back and say, what an idiot Fanning was. But seriously, I'm not 100% sure what the benefits are for something like this. I mean, whatever you want to Google, you can Google. Whatever you want to film with your camera or whatever else, or your phone, you can do it. Why do you need to do it while you're what? While you're, walking along? Is it, while you're sitting down knitting?
The benefits are speed and efficiency. For example, if you're on a bike, there are a lot of cyclists. If you're on a bike...
Wait a minute, you're going to be checking Google when you're on a bike?
No, but you might want, for example, to be contactable
by email on a bike.
Well, no, you might want to take a call when you're on a bike.
Right.
No, I mean, for example, I walk dogs, and I walk dogs every evening. And if I'm on a call, it is actually a bit of a pain in the neck to have my phone out of my pocket on a call. Because I have already pleaded guilty to being that idiot who walks along reading social media as on the path, it is much, much easier to do that if I don't have to have my looking down at a phone. I mean, one design for the next iPhone is potentially a transparent iPhone, just for idiots like me, so that when I'm walking along on the street, I can actually see the hazard in front of me. There are definitely some potential benefits here. The problem is that you need a lot more apps for this to work, and you need for this to be not just middle-aged tech.
Sure. I'm just trying to see it as something other than just having all technology that we know from the last few years stuck to your head.
Yeah, I mean, and to support your argument, they used to say that Bluetooth headsets were the absolutely the next best thing, and now even taxi drivers sort of are turning off Bluetooth headsets because they do make you look like a fool when you're walking down the street just talking to thin air. So there is that element of it. You do look like a bit of a Wally, you know, walking down, because when you're using Google Glass, it's clear you're using Google Glass because you have to look up. You're looking up at the information on the inside of the lens. So you're walking along the street, you're looking up, and you do look a little bit deranged.
All right. Well, let's see if we all will look a little bit deranged in the near future. We'll see what happens. Watch this space. Google Glass is what we're talking about. Adrian Weckler, technology editor with The Independent. Thanks a million for talking to us, Adrian.
Thanks.